I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I like to say we're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense, and common sense is not that common. Today's show, I have Steve Ray at CatholicConvert.com on. Jesse's on another show promoting his latest book, so he won't be here today, but I tell you, today's show is going to be special. Also, I want you to know that yesterday's show we did about the two Bakersfield doctors citing their testing and data urging the reopening of the country. Well, they got 5.5 million views, and then YouTube took them down. And I'm quoting from The Blaze that they said they removed the viral video of these frontline doctors calling for an end of quarantine and comparing. You know, they just, bottom line, keep those guys in your prayers, because they were coming up with information that they had experienced as doctors, and they've been rejected by YouTube. Well, no surprise. But today's topic, I want you to know, about a month from now, we're going to have a great Catholic celebration of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. And I want you to get this information now to really think about it, because this is one of the great celebrations that the church has. It's like a little birthday. And I'm going to ask right now, Mr. Engineer, if Steve Ray is with us. I don't see him. Steve Ray, are you with him, brother?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you fine, Steve. I just don't see you yet, but that's fine. Steve,
well, let me see if
I see you. You don't have your bald head. You got a hat on. I need a hat like you, brother.
Can you see me now?
I can see it perfect, Steve. Can you see me?
Good. You can hear me and see me.
Yes, Steve. And welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Steve, if it was up to me, I'd have you on every week, but I know you're a very busy man, because I got to tell you, before we start, I have been with you for a couple decades, since I think you came into the church in, what, 1994?
Yeah,
and ever since then, you were just a new Catholic, and I said, "Wow, this guy's got zeal. He's on fire for the faith. He loves Jesus. He loves his bride, the church, and he's willing to think out of the box." And I think that's probably why I got attracted to you, is because you weren't just a guy who would sit in the corner and say, "Yeah, if you ask me a question, I'll give you an answer." No, you're out evangelizing everywhere you go. So we have a kindred spirit. So thank you for joining us today, Steve. And before I begin, I want everybody to go to his website, CatholicConvert.com. Steve, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother.
Thank you. You said that that I was in love with bride, and I'm in love with two brides.
That's right.
I've been in love with the Catholic Church bride for, it's 27 years now, and I've been in love with my other bride for 43 years. We've been married with 18 grandkids. And notice, Jesse and Terry, I'm here with no mask today. I am mask free.
Wait a minute. You're in the state of Michigan. Tell me a little bit before we begin. You got to take a minute just to let people know you're supposed to stay in the house. And if you have to go out to get some groceries, you have to have a mask. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, even today we went out grocery shopping, and they'll only let one person in after one person leaves.
Wow.
And you have to have a mask or they won't let you in. Mm-hmm. And they just let landscapers and people just yesterday start doing landscaping. And just now can you buy a shovel or plants? But Terry, you could definitely go to the abortion clinic and get an abortion, because our Governor Whitmer, who's a nitwit, she said that abortion is life sustaining, and it's a necessary service, because abortion is life sustaining, but we have to close the churches and all medical procedures other than for the virus and abortion. So this governor, I can't say that what I really think.
We need her. We need to pray for her conversion, because we know her priorities are worldly priorities and not godly priorities.
We're going to pray for her, and we're going to elect her out of office.
Absolutely. Those are two good combinations, prayer and action. Steve Ray, I've had you on for so many times talking about our Catholic faith, and I want to give people hope right now, because there's a lot of people scared to death, okay, of this virus. And I've always said, and I'll just repeat, on Friday I have a show with Father Murr talking on prayer. Why do we need to learn how to pray? Because I'm going to tell you, the saints, scripture tells us if we don't pray, we're going to be damned. And so right now, we need to know our faith. We need to live our faith, because that's where we're going to get our confidence, and we're going to not be scared like the world is right now. So today's topic, Steve, is on Pentecost. Yes, you did come in on Pentecost Sunday, 1994. So that was, you're right. I just saw that on the notes here. So Steve, tell us, number one. Oh, but before I do that, I love giving you plugs on your website. Can you tell everybody? You know why? Because it's gold in those hills. And Steve, what can you tell us on your website that's going to benefit my listeners? That's what I want to ask first.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Terry, for the opportunity. And after this, maybe I can tell about how we came into the church on Pentecost, just a short story how that happened.
Yes.
On my website, CatholicConvert.com, are pilgrimages. And I know right now they're shut down for a while, but we have one planned for Israel the end of July, first part of August.
Good.
And we're going to go. And we've also got a St. Paul cruise. And I know people say, cruise, are you kidding? Well, by the time the end of September rolls around, I'm hoping and expecting that a lot of people have forgotten this whole thing. It would be just a bad memory, this virus thing. And by the way, Terry, I don't call it a COVID or whatever. I call it a Wuhan.
Because it came
virus.
In China, right? Well, Wuhan.
It came from China, and we ought to call it what it is.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I think it'll be over. And I'm taking 8 of my grandkids on that cruise, and my son and one of my daughters and right. Janet, and we're going to have a blast. We've already got people signed up for that one, too. And also Holy Land, October, November, and over Christmas.
Right.
So. And on my website, I'm going to have, they're putting it up today, so it'll probably be up there tomorrow, a special with my 13-hour Defending the Faith audio set, plus my CD called The Birth of the Church, which is on our topic today. It's my whole hour plus a few minutes talk on the birth of the church. And then also another one on the life of the Holy Family, I think it is. So, and there's going to be a discount and no shipping, so check my web store.
CatholicConvert.com. Steve Ray, here's my first question. What does the word Pentecost mean?
50th day. Very simple.
Yep.
Day number 50.
Yep.
And it's not a Christian feast day. It's a Jewish feast day.
Tell us why that. Yeah, that's important enough.
We nicked it. You know, we kind of snatched it and took it as our own. But it is a Jewish holiday. Pentecost, and the reason it says 50th day, Penta is 50, 50th day is because 50th day from what? Well, it's the 50th day from Passover. Jesus was crucified on Passover, but the Egypt, they had the lamb, Passover lamb, they had to sacrifice. Then they escaped from Egypt. First of all, this is kind of fun, Terry, this whole sequence.
Oh, yeah.
You had to kill a Passover lamb because they were in the land of Egypt, which represents the world, controlled by Pharaoh, which represents the devil. And they were doing slavery, which represents our sin and our slavery to sin. The three enemies of the Christian, the world, the devil, and sin. God sent a Messiah, so to speak, Moses. He's the first Moses. Jesus is the second Moses, the last Moses. He tells Moses, kill a lamb. Have everybody kill a Passover lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the upright verticals and the horizontal beams of your house. And when the angel of death comes over, he'll see the blood and he'll pass over your house. That's where it came, Passover. The angel is going to pass over your house. The Bible's really quite simple, you know?
Yep.
And so then the Israelites did that, and then they escaped from the land of Egypt. They went through the water, the Red Sea, which represents baptism. We'll talk more about that down the road. And they came into the Promised Land. But between the time that they killed the Passover lamb and they went through the Red Sea and got out to Mount Sinai where he gave them the law, that was 50 days. So that's the 50th day. And on Mount Sinai, what happened? Fire came down on that mountain. What happened with Pentecost? Fire came down on another mountain. But we'll get into all that soon.
Absolutely.
But Pentecost means 50th day from Passover, or the sacrifice of the Passover lamb.
And I want to remind everybody, I do realize Pentecost is May 31st, okay? But this is going to be a podcast. You can be passing this on to your friends while you're at home, where you're thinking, what can I do? Well, what we can do is spread the Catholic faith, and knowledge is power. So knowing the Catholic faith is very important. So you can pass this information on at home just by the YouTube or your Facebook or however social media you're using. This is all going to be up on virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Hey, Steve, the 50th day, what is it from? In other words, I'm going to assume we have a simple answer, but I think there's more than just the Passover lamb. Isn't there more than that?
Well, the 50th day for the Jews, when they celebrate Pentecost, which they still do,
right?
It's the 50th day, and they say that it's the giving of the law. That's what they view the day of Pentecost as, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And we also have the same thing, because that's when the Holy Spirit came and gave us this wonderful gift we call Pentecost and the filling of the Holy Spirit. It was after the blood was shed. And by the way, the second Passover lamb, who is Jesus, also had blood put on vertical and horizontal beams of the wood too, didn't he? Just like the lamb in Egypt had blood on vertical and horizontal beams of the wood. The new Passover lamb with the new Moses, Jesus, the also blood is on the vertical and horizontal beams of the cross. And so it was also that whole idea, though, of Pentecost also had other aspects. It was the wheat harvest, the 50th day, the wheat harvest. It ties in with the Tower of Babel. We'll get into all of those one at a time soon, though. Steve, but it's 50th day from all of that.
Got it. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we'll ask more questions about Pentecost. I want to remind you, the Bible with the Barbers is coming on right after the interview with Steve Ray on the Terry and Jesse Show. And we're going to talk about why St. Paul wrote so little about Jesus' public ministry. It's an interesting topic. My nephew, Dr. Barber, is the one who wrote the article, and I thought it was fascinating. When we come back, we'll continue to chat about Pentecost. It's coming up within the month. And this is something that I think we all need to know well, the Pentecost feast day inside and out. And that's what Steve Ray is giving us. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Tell your friends at the break to tune in. Yeah, tell them to go on YouTube, get our free app, get it one way or another. We'll be right back.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. So everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's not here, but my good friend Steve Ray is here. I want to remind you, last Saturday we had our internet conference on mental health. and thousands of people watched it all over the world. And I want to remind everybody, if they're a monthly donor, you get that for free. You get all the recordings for free. And if anybody wants to become a monthly donor for our ministry, we lost about 65 monthly donors last month because people lost their jobs. And I understand. And all of you who are listening that lost your job, we're praying for you here at Virgin Most Powerful. Continue to listen, but don't worry about it. But anybody who is able to become a monthly donor to fill in that gap, well, we appreciate it. Just call 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Steve Ray, you were in the middle of answering my question about the 50th day from what? And you had more to say, so let's continue with that question.
Well, it's the 50th day from the death of the Passover lamb to the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. They arrived at Mount Sinai, and what happened there? Fire came down on Mount Sinai, and the people were terrified. In fact, Moses had said, everybody, come on, line up around the mountain. You're going to meet God now. He's the one that brought you out. I've been talking to him. He's going to finally introduce himself to you. So everybody ring around the mountain, get going there, but don't touch the mountain. Don't let an animal touch it. Just stay back. So God came down in fire. There was an earthquake, lightning, trumpets, and thunder, and the people were so terrified, it says that they ran and they hid, and they said to Moses, don't you ever let God speak to us again. From now on, you go talk to God, and you come back and tell us what God has to say. And so now you have the new Pentecost. They're on another mountain. They're on the mountain of Zion. That's in Jerusalem. And they are also afraid, I think, these Jews are up there in the upper room, because they hear that God is going to come down, the Holy Spirit is going to come down in fire. Well, how in the world? The only thing the Jews know about fire is a fire coming down on Mount Sinai. And they were terrified back then and said, don't ever let God see us, talk to us again like that. Now they're in the upper room, and it said they were afraid of the Romans, but I think, and the Jews, but I think they were also afraid of God, because they had heard that the Holy Spirit was going to come in fire. Mm-hmm. And so I think, by the way, that's why Mary was in the upper room. You know, it doesn't always tell us where Mary was.
No.
But it does mention that Mary was there, the mother of Jesus. And I think even the way Luke says it, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, because she was there to say to the guys, hey, relax. Be calm. You don't have to be afraid. I've already been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he's not to be in pure love and joy and peace. And why else was she in the upper room, Terry?
Tell us.
Mother? Well, what's happening on the day of Pentecost? Let me give you a hint. Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday to you. It's the birthday of the church. And what is the church? It's the body of Christ. And who has to be there for the body of Christ but the mother? Mary's the mother of the church. Of course, she has to be there in the upper room for the birth of the church. Mary's the mother of the church. So they're up there. They're terrified. They're afraid. But I think Mary is there to let them know, don't worry. And I noticed that you're holding the notes that I sent. And there's a picture on the bottom there.
I see it. Yeah.
Of Pentecost. Do you know, and this is a good question for all your audience.
Okay.
Do you know how you could tell the difference between a Protestant and a Catholic painting of the upper room on Pentecost?
Maybe because you don't have Mary there. Is that a possibility?
You're absolutely correct. The one that I sent you, a Catholic, always has Mary sitting in the middle, and all the guys there around her with fire coming down. A Protestant picture may have Mary, but she's off to the side or she's not in there at all, because they kind of don't have the respect for Mary that we do.
I have to jump in because today's feast day is St. Louis de Montfort, who has a book called True Devotion to Mary. And the role of Mary is to bring us to Christ. And that role has not changed for 2,000 years. She's still bringing us to her son. I just had to say that, Steve. Sorry about that.
But that's absolutely.
Okay. Hey, next one. When was the first Pentecost? And was the first Pentecost in Jerusalem with the apostles?
It was obviously on Mount Sinai with the giving of the law.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got to Jerusalem, they had to continue to celebrate that feast every year. It was something they continued to celebrate every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, the first one was in Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. And when they came to Jerusalem, because God was so good to them, he gave them a land that had three seasons a year. So you could harvest three different times per year. And so the first harvest, they had to bring the best of the first fruits. It was called the first fruits. And they had to bring those first fruits to the temple, and they had to give those to the priest. And in other words, it was a sacrifice. So, Terry, you and I have a nice garden, okay?
I do.
And we make our living in the garden. In Michigan, you couldn't even work in a garden up until April 28th. But anyway, say that's you what you and I do. And most of the people in Israel at the time were either agrarian or they raised flocks and sheep. Sure. So we go out and we plant this wonderful wheat field. Well, the first fruits, when we gather that, the first best of the fruits, we have to give that to God. That was the first fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the day of Pentecost, what happened on the day of Pentecost? The first fruits were given to God. 3,000 people were added that day. That was the first fruits, in a sense. Now, Jesus, on the day of when he went to the cross, he died on the cross, and he had told us that when a grain of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus, being that grain of wheat, was buried in the ground. He died on the cross. Jesus was buried in the ground. And then on the resurrection, that wheat came up out of the ground. And on Pentecost, it began to bear fruit. What happened there was on Pentecost, 3,000 were added that day. That's the first fruit. So see how even the Pentecost of the Old Testament, being the festival of first fruits, is played out in the Christian Pentecost, because 3,000 of the first fruits of the believers came into the church at that day. So you see that. Now, interesting, Terry, the parallelism is quite fascinating.
Yeah, what is that?
On the first mountain, mm-hmm. the mountain of Sinai,
yes.
Some of those people rose up against God, and they said, we don't believe this. Moses has not come back down from the mountain, so we want to build a golden calf. They had been 400 years in Egypt where cows were gods. And there's always a saying, I don't remember who first said it, but you could always take Israel out of Egypt, but you couldn't take Egypt out of Israel.
Mm.
They always still wanted to follow those same gods that they learned in Egypt. So you have these people that came to Aaron, the high priest, and they said, build us a golden calf. And he did. They gave them their earrings and their bracelets and their everything gold, and they built a golden calf. And they all bowed down and said, oh, you, oh God, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Now, because of that, the Levites, they were the priestly tribe of Aaron, they stood up with their swords and they went after the Israelites because they were angry for God. They were jealous for the name of God. And it says they slew 3,000 Jews, that Israelites, that fell that day. On the first Pentecost, 3,000 fell that day because of their idolatry. Look what God does on the Pentecost, the new Pentecost, mm-hmm. on another mountain, the mountain of Jerusalem. He restores those 3,000 that fell.
Wow.
It says in Exodus, 3,000 fell that day. On Pentecost, in Mount Zion, Jerusalem, 3,000 were added that day. Now, I'll take it one step further just for the fun of it.
No, this is great.
In the land of Egypt, 40 years after those people rebelled against God, that whole generation died out.
Yep.
They had to wander in the wilderness until that whole generation died out. There were only four that were able to come into the promised land. Actually, only two. Moses and Aaron died right before they came across. Only Joshua and Caleb. That means old dog, by the way. If you got a name, Caleb means old dog. I love that name. But nobody, that whole generation died before they could come into the promised land. What happened to Israel on the first day on the Pentecost in Israel? Again, the Jewish leaders rejected God. And 40 years later, exactly again, Rome came in, destroyed the temple, and wiped out that
wow.
generation.
Wow.
1.2 million were killed. 92,000 are taken to Rome to build the Colosseum, the Flavian Amphitheater, which we know as the Colosseum.
Yeah.
So 3,000 were added that day, but also 40 years later, the nation was all died out. New Pentecost in Jerusalem, 3,000 were added that day.
Yes.
And also because they rejected their God, 40 years later, that whole generation was wiped out.
What a
the
parallel.
Parallels between these two mountains
awesome.
And these two Pentecosts are very, very interesting.
Oh, fascinating. Well, I got a really good question for you, Steve. And this one I know you can't answer right away because we're going to be taking a break in a minute. But I want to ask this question because it's fascinating to me to think about what we know about the upper room. And I know you have, when you go to your trips to the Holy Land, you have a virtual tour of that. Can you, for the benefit of us who haven't seen this upper room, can you paint a really clear picture of what this upper room was all about?
let me do it what it was like at the time, 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back from the break and I'll tell you what it's like today.
Good.
But 2,000 years ago, it was up in the wealthier part of the city of Jerusalem where the more wealthy people live. And the upper room was on top of Mount Zion. And it was the home of a woman named Mary, the mother of Mark. Mark is the guy who wrote the gospel of Mark.
Yep.
And it was his mother that owned that. And there's a lot of things that happened in that upper room. That is where the priesthood was initiated.
Holy Thursday.
Jesus instituted the sacrament of the priesthood.
Amen.
It's where the Eucharist was instituted, where he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, this is my body, this
John
is my
6.
Blood.
Yep.
It's where he came back again later and he instituted confession. He said it breathed on them, like
John
the
20.
Book of Genesis, he breathed into Adam. He now breathes into the new body of Christ, the new man. And he says, whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whoever sins you retain will be retained. And that's the sacrament of confession. Three already. Now there's a fourth sacrament because the Holy Spirit came down in that same room. And that has to do with the sacrament of confirmation. So four out of seven sacraments are in that one room on Mount Zion. And I'll let you go for a break and we'll tell you what it's like.
Wow, wow. And what he was talking about was John 20 for confession and John 6 with the Holy Eucharist. Steve, I love your passion, brother. Man, what an education about the upper room. You'll never, ever forget learning about the upper room. And I want to remind our listeners, we're going to take a quick break. Call your friends right now. Have them tune in. Get the free app. You can get this free app called VirginMostPowerfulRadio.org on a smartphone. You can go to the YouTube channel, Facebook. We're on different AM stations. And if you're in an area where you have Catholic radio, tell them, hey, maybe say, hey, I want you guys to pick up a Virgin Most Powerful Radio programming. We've got something I think really special coming up the first of the month. We have the Marian Helpers out in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Father Mike Gately, Father Don Calloway, Father Chris Allard, all these priests at that particular center, they're going to be on the radio once a week with Virgin Most Powerful talking about the meaning of divine mercy. What's the story about divine mercy? And they're going to have story after story that'll inspire you to learn more about what St. Faustina has taught in her book or her diary. You're going to be an expert after you take this class. And we got a new show coming up in May also with Jesse Romero, Father Ripperger, in regards to spiritual warfare, all on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Get the free app by going on your smartphone and just downloading it. It's free, and you'll get much more programming on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town. Actually, he's doing an interview about his latest book, and my good friend Steve Ray is talking about Pentecost. More when we come back. To help inspire you to fall deep in love with Jesus and His church.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet. But we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I always like to say I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. I've got my good friend Steve Ray. CatholicConvert.com is his website. And we've been talking about the upper room and how it looked like 2,000 years ago and all the different sacraments that took place in that holy room. But Steve, you've gone to the Holy Land, I think, 280 times. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but a lot. So tell us what that upper room looks like today.
It's been almost 200 times, Terry, and it would have been 203 if it weren't for this craziness, because we've lost 8 buses
to date. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Of pilgrimages. So Janet and I are out of work for at least 8 months. But the Lord's taking care of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Today, the upper room was a home. It was a large home, and it was able to hold 180 people on the upper level.
Wow.
And homes had multiple levels sometimes, and then you'd also go up on the roof to pray, or it would have like a balcony kind of an area over the living court. So we don't know exactly what it looked like, but we know where it was. It was on Mount Zion,
Okay. Very
near Caiaphas's house where Jesus was tried on Holy Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take our groups there, like I've taken you and you're going back with us again in February for people who want to join Terry and I, and we're going to be giving talks along the way. Terry's going to give talks. I'm going to give talks, and it's in the first part of February. And we will go to that one, by the way.
And Steve, before you enter, I want people to come. I want to be with you, our listener. I want to be there. My wife is going to be there with me. I am excited about going to the Holy Land with Steve and Janet. So here's what you do. Go to CatholicConvert.com today. I know it's in February, but do it now, because the earlier you get your registration in, you're guaranteed to come that way. Is that a fair statement, Steve?
It is, and it's an unusual one. It's something new we're doing. It's about $1,000 less than our normal. Our normal trip is very private, one bus and so on.
Yeah.
This can be a little larger, and we're going to have you come on. It's called actually a seminar series,
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to give longer talks at some very special sites. My wife Janet's going to give talks. We're going to try and get your wife to give a talk.
Sure.
And maybe the two wives together do a panel discussion, and you're going to give some talks on site and in the evening. So it's going to be called a seminar series. It's going to be kind of exciting. We'll take you to the upper room. And today, the upper room is in a big building, which is owned, controlled by the Jews. It should be given back to the Catholic Church. We owned it from the very beginning. And the Muslims took it away for a while, but it's our property and the Jews should give it back. And it's one place where Christians cannot celebrate Mass, even though it's where the very first Mass was celebrated. When you go in today, it's not like a church. Some people are surprised. It looks like a mosque.
Yeah.
And that's because during the Ottoman Empire, they did turn it into a mosque. You can even see where the imam would stand. They built a special pulpit area, and the stained glass is in Arabic. And it looks like a mosque when you walk in. But it's now what the Jews say is a museum. So everybody comes in there and can do what they want. They can pray. Pentecostals come in, make a lot of noise, and we have to tell them to be quiet sometimes. Nobody else can hear what's going on. But it's where those four sacraments are related.
Yeah.
Now, one other thing I want to say about being inside of that room, Terry, is we talked about Mary being up there, but let me ask the viewers how many people were in the upper room.
Good question.
I'm going to hold my breath and wait and let people kind of figure out. Very few people come up with the right answer. It says in the book of Acts, there were about 120. But in the Greek, in the original language, it doesn't say about 120 people. It says about 120 names were in the upper room. Now, that's a very strange way to say it. What if you said, Terry, we've got 100,000 names watching the show today.
Yeah.
That's a very strange way to say it. It's almost like you have a list or something.
Right.
Well, my curiosity got the best of me.
Good.
So I have a biblical software program called Verbum. And if you want to know about it,
it's
write
great.
To me.
Yeah,
I'll great. Tell you about it and how you can get it with a 10% discount. But that I looked up in the first century, I limited the search of Jewish tradition and laws mm-hmm. within the first century. So it'd be the time of Christ and Pentecost. And is the number 120 have any significance due to that period of time? I found out that if you lived in the big city with its own courts, its own Sanhedrin, mm-hmm. its own legislature, its own representatives, and its civic laws, like a governmental city, and you wanted to leave and start your own new city out in the desert or somewhere else, you needed to collect 120 people, a minimum of 120 people, so that you could break away from this community now and go off and start a new community. What is the church? It's a new community. It's breaking away from Israel and Judaism, and it's breaking away to start a new one. And in the upper room, Luke wants you to know that. That's why he said there's about 120 names. It's almost like you have a quorum, like you have a list. Okay, how many we got? We got 120. Okay, good. It's legal. Now we can go. And the church broke away, and on the day of Pentecost was the beginning of that new society. The important thing to remember, Terry,
tell me,
is that Protestants,
yes,
as I used to be one,
yeah,
our attitude was, hey, you a brother in Christ? Hey, Terry, you love Jesus too. We're both Protestants, say. Well, let's get together on Sunday and we'll sing some hymns and pray and read the Bible together, because that's what the church is, a bunch of people that have Jesus and me, and we kind of get together and fellowship together. That's the church pretty much.
Yep.
But in Catholic view, we are Jewish at heart. Everything we do as Catholics comes from the Jewish root, right out of the Old Testament in Israel.
Right on.
And if in Israel you had to have 120 to break away and start a new community, this is what we understand the church is. It's not just a fellowship of believers having a happy time with Pastor Billy Bob. What we're doing is breaking away and starting a whole new community, and it is a civic community. It's like a government, like a country, like a city. It's going to have courts, the Sanhedrin. It's going to have laws. It's going to have a legislature. And what church does that sound like to you? It sounds like the Catholic
you
Church,
think?
No matter where you go in the world,
we have,
it's a government. It's the city, Vatican City even. So this is something in the upper room. We can use this to show that the Catholic Church is what Jesus wanted it to be, and not just a fellowship of believers, because there's 120 and it goes right back to Jewish tradition. Last thing. How many do you think are in the Knesset today in Israel? There's the governmental body in Israel today. How many members in the Knesset? 120.
Isn't
they also take their tradition all the way back to the first century?
Fascinating. Steve, as a CatholicConvert.com, that's his website, I have to ask you this question. It puzzles me. When you were a Protestant, how did you miss this? How did you miss all these connections about the church? What was it then?
These?
Yeah, glasses.
I these are new glasses I just got 27 years ago.
Yeah.
These are Catholic glasses.
I get
Before
it.
I converted, I had a pair of Baptist glasses.
I get it. You saw everything from a Baptist perspective.
And my mom gave me these when I was born.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that I had the Bible alone.
Yes.
I didn't have the Bible alone. Before I could ever read the Bible alone, my mom gave me a pair of Baptist glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put those glasses on, everything I saw was through the lens of my Baptist tradition.
Amen.
These glasses say Baptist tradition. And I saw everything. When I read the Bible, there were verses that didn't even exist in there because I couldn't see them. And I forced my Baptist theology to fit the Bible. The other way around.
Exactly.
My Baptist theology was like a round hole. The Bible's like a square. And I kept trying to fit the Bible and force it to follow my Baptist tradition. 1994, I took off my Baptist glasses. Off they go.
Yeah.
I got a new pair of glasses, Terry.
Yes, sir.
I put them on.
Uh-huh.
This is a Jewish lens. This is a Catholic lens. Now everything makes sense. Old and New Testament, the Catholic Church, the whole history, all of it. Now I see it completely clear because I have a new pair of glasses. That's how I missed it before, and that's how I see it now. I have a new tradition that I look through. Everybody has a tradition. Let's admit we have. Exactly. Baptists have a tradition. Pentecostals have a tradition.
That's right.
And they read their Bible in light of that tradition. I'm now a Catholic and I have a new tradition.
Thanks. That was a great answer. I love the analogy with the glasses. One lens Jewish, one lens Catholic. I love it. Steve, I think we can answer this quick question before the break. We have novenas in the Catholic Church. Where did novena come from, Steve?
Well, yeah. When we're talking 50th day,
yeah,
let's look at the whole Passion of Christ.
Yeah,
he raises from the dead. It says that he's on the earth for 40 days.
Yeah,
okay, 40 days he teaches his disciples. We could do a show sometime, Terry, on where all those locations were.
Yep,
I think I came up with 9 locations mentioned in the Bible where Jesus appeared during that 40 days,
mm-hmm.
and then with 15 different people or groups of people. We'll do that next year.
Absolutely.
Around Easter.
Good.
So 40 days, he raises from the dead, then you have 40 days,
mm-hmm.
and then he takes them to Mount of Olives, and he raises up into heaven, the ascension. And he goes up into heaven, and he tells them, you guys go back to the upper room and you pray. They're scared. They go back to obey, but they also go back out of fear. They lock themselves in the upper room, and they pray for 9 days. Then on the 10th day, which is the 50th day from the resurrection, the crucifixion of Jesus, now 40 plus 9 plus 1 is 50 days.
Makes sense.
And that's Pentecost. 40 days he was with them, 9 days they go up to pray, and on the 10th or the 50th day, their prayers are answered and the Holy Spirit comes. That's what they were praying for. So where does the Catholic novena come? They're in the upper room praying for 9 days, and the answer came on the 10th. And from that, Catholics now have used that for 9 days, 9 weeks, all right. These different novenas, but they all started back in this upper room.
Absolutely. And folks, I want to tell you, we got one more segment with CatholicConvert.com, Steve Ray. Why do I keep saying his website? I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm being really brutally honest. I want you to go to CatholicConvert.com, pick up some of his books, his CDs. It's like gold. And also, Steve has a lot of great articles in there that would be resources for you to share with your family. Also, I want to remind you, what you just learned about the novena, this is all going to be podcast after today, so that you can go back and send this to your friends. This whole show will be available, well, as far as I know, for many, many years to come, for you to pass on to your friends. And again, we couldn't do this without our listeners. I want to thank all the folks, especially last weekend, the people who did matching funds for Virgin Most Powerful Radio last weekend. We matched it. We're doing great. Why am I saying we're doing great? Well, we're doing great because we're able to proclaim the teachings of the Catholic faith through Virgin Most Powerful because of you, our listener. When we come back, here's the teaser. How is Mary related to the Feast of Pentecost? Yeah, Mary, our Blessed Virgin Mary. Steve Ray will tell us that. And we got many more questions. I'm going to try and squeeze them all in. But if not, get his CD that's on his website for this topic at CatholicConvert.com. We'll be back with much more with our good friend, Steve Ray, CatholicConvert.com's his website. We'll be back.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Steve Ray, CatholicConvert.com, is here talking about Pentecost. If you just tuned in, you'll want to listen to the previous segments. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or get our free app on your smartphone, and you can hear all the different shows that we produce. Steve Ray, how is Mary related to the Feast of Pentecost?
Well, I'll summarize kind of because we've touched on it a bit as we went along, but it's she's related to Pentecost because, first of all, she's Jewish, and sometimes we forget that fact. We get images and statues of her that make her look like she's actually Swedish.
Yeah.
With her blonde hair and her pretty fingernails and things, but she was actually a tough little Jewish girl.
Absolutely.
And so she would have been very familiar with Jerusalem and this room and these people because they were already disciples of Jesus. So when this came, the Pentecost, and they were told to go up there and pray, Mary was with them because I think she is a master at prayer. Mm-hmm. And she was there to help these guys not to be afraid, because she was already been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. So she told them to relax. And I like the way the book of Acts actually states it. It says Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there because Pentecost is the birthday of the church, which is the body of Christ. And I always say that Mary had to be there for the birth of Christ the second time. She is the mother of Jesus, the physical being that came in the flesh. She's also the mother of the mystical body of Christ. And she had to be there on Pentecost to give birth to that. And then the other last thing, just kind of an interesting thing you can have fun with is look at pictures of Pentecost and ask yourself if they're Catholic or Protestant, because Catholic views always have Mary in the center, and Protestants don't have Mary in it at all or in a very insignificant spot.
Got it.
Can I bring up one other interesting thing about Pentecost?
You bet.
It also reverses something that happened. Pentecost, it says that everybody could hear even though they had different languages.
That was my next question. What does Pentecost have to do with the Tower of Babel in Genesis, Steve?
Well, at the Tower of Babel, remember, they were all sinful and they were trying to build a city all the way up to God.
Okay.
They were trying to say that man was the center of all things, which really what's happening. And that's what's happening in our world today. We're building computers and we're building all of these things. And those are all good things. You and I are using them right now.
Yes.
But the whole attitude of we can build a humanistic society where man is the center of all things. We don't need God. Computers are going to make us like God. We can do whatever we want. Well, that was happening at the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis. And they were, and by the way, Terry, I just wrote a 500-page book on Genesis.
What?
And it's at Ignatius Press right now. I just finished it a couple months ago. 500-page book on Genesis. Goes verse by verse.
Oh, my God.
And I bring out all the Jewish background, and I use Jewish commentaries for what the Jews, how they interpret the passages, and then how the fathers of the church and we do.
Awesome.
It's really a fascinating book.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be out in the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it Babel, which was a ziggurat. Mm-hmm. It was in the country of Iraq of today. And what they did, because Babel is Babylon, that's in Iraq of today. And they had these ziggurats. That's where Abraham came from. And these are big pyramids, and they would build these things up into the sky. If you want to see all about it, watch my Abraham movie, because I actually take you all the way to Iraq.
Wow.
We lived dangerously for a week there and got all the footage of where Abraham came from and these ziggurat pyramids. And so these people were building this up, and they all were speaking the same language. But then God came down and said, I'm going to confuse their languages, because if we let them go, nothing will stop them. So he confused their languages. Imagine all of a sudden the supervisor says over there, all you guys do this, and they don't understand his language. All of them, I say, what does blinkinko mean? I don't know what that means. What's he talking gibberish? All of a sudden people started going and gravitating to people that spoke a language they could understand, and they all went off to different areas of the world, to different countries with their own languages. Now the world and sin is separated by all these languages. What happens on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit comes down. Peter begins to preach. Why does Peter preach? Because he's the head of the church, of course.
Right.
He takes the reins. He sits. He takes the authority. He begins to teach, just like Jesus told him he would. And he begins to speak, and people from all the way from Arabia and up in Asia Minor and Northern Africa all understood him speaking. And they said, how can we understand this when all of us have these different languages? It's a reversal of Babel. It's a reversal of the Tower of Babel, where he's bringing people back again into one family where they were divided. He's bringing them all back, bringing humanity back into one family again by giving them all a language that they can all understand. It was a beautiful sign that God gave of what Pentecost really is.
Awesome. Steve, here's a big question. How did the Holy Spirit turn a motley crew of disciples into a movement that turned the world upside down, man? I mean, I know that's your opinion, but I have my own feeling or my own idea of how it happened. But tell us what your thoughts are. How did this happen?
Well, I went out fishing all night with the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee once.
Yes.
And they were all speaking in Hebrew, and they all smelled like sweat, and they smelled like fish. And they pulled into the Jordan River, and they were having their dinner in their boats, and they were picking their teeth with branches. They picked off the twigs. Rough, tough guys that smelled bad most of the time. They smelled like fish, not like books.
Yeah.
And I owned a company, Terry. I still do what we're doing now. But I had 600 employees at one time, and I had to hire managers to run that company for me. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have gone up to Galilee and picked those smelly fishermen to be the CEOs and the managers of my company. There's no way. But Jesus knew something different. He picked guys with humble hearts. Peter had a humble heart. I think Jesus loved Peter best because Peter was always saying, I'll die for you. I'll follow you. I'll serve you. He didn't live up to it, but he wanted to do that. Jesus loved his heart and John's heart. These guys were simple men.
Yep.
And Jesus said, I could take these simple men, this raw material, and I can shape it and mold it into something very special. If he'd have chosen the Jews down in Jerusalem, the doctors of the church who smelled like books and not like fish, they would have been stubborn and arrogant, as we see that they were. He picked these humble Jewish fishermen. And I'll tell you too, Terry, they were dunderheads right up until the end. Even when Jesus rose into heaven, the first question is, are you going to get your sword out and get on your white horse and gallop in now? Is now the time you're going to reestablish Israel? Is now the time you're going to kick Rome out? Even to the moment of the ascension into heaven, they still didn't get it. But on the day of Pentecost, something happened. The Holy Spirit of God came and indwelled not just the church, but he indwelled each of them and each of us. And if we allow that power of the Holy Spirit in us to come out, we just keep him in a box most of the time.
Yeah.
But if we allow the Holy Spirit and we give up all the rooms in our house, so to speak, if we have all these little rooms, we say, well, I'll give him this room in my heart, but I'm not going to give him this one because this is my favorite sin, or this is my favorite this, and I'll give God part of my life. But when the Holy Spirit came, he flooded those people. And he turned those people from scaredy cats who were hiding in the upper room to men who were willing to go out. And all of them, except for John, gave their lives in horrendous martyrdoms. And they wouldn't have done that if they didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And Steve, I want to hear the connection with Genesis on this one. What does Jesus breathing on the apostles signify? Because we hear that, but what's the connection?
The time when Jesus meets them in the upper room is like a prefiguration of Pentecost. It's related to Pentecost because Jesus comes into the room and it says he breathes on the disciples. What in the world does that mean? Those 12, he gives them the power and authority to forgive and retain sins, but he says he breathes on them. You know, Terry, today when people are walking around with these Wuhan virus masks on,
right.
And if you walked up and breathed on someone today, you'd get punched in the nose. Don't breathe on me. That's unsanitary. Are you trying to give me a disease? It's really kind of strange that you would say Jesus went up and breathed on them.
Right.
But why would it say that? Because John is telling you that there was another time when, let me say this, when do we have another time when God breathes on someone?
Oh, yeah.
In the creation, he forms man from the dust. He breathes into them the breath of life, and he creates humanity.
Right.
Jesus is now starting a new humanity. Jesus is the second Adam. He's the last Adam. Mary is the new Eve. The crucifixion took place in a garden. John tells us that the cross and the tomb are in a garden. Why does he tell us that? Because he wants you to think of the Garden of Eden. And if you don't get it, he even goes a little hint, and he says, when Mary Magdalene was there, who did she think Jesus was? The gardener. See, I think it's almost a little pun.
Yeah.
John wants you to know it's in a garden where the cross was, because that's where the new Adam is making a new humanity, even to the point where she mistook Jesus for the gardener. So now the new Adam, he's in the upper room. He's God. He breathes and into these new guys. And what he's saying is, what happened in the Garden of Eden, when I breathed into Adam and I made a new humanity, I'm breathing into you now, and I'm starting a new humanity, my new Christian humanity. Those who are born again. How do you get born again? By accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and asking him to come. No, that's not how you get born again. You get born again by water and spirit.
Amen.
You get born again by baptism and the Holy Spirit coming to indwell you. And that's how it happens. And the new Adam in a new garden breathes on these guys. The God breathes on them, and a new humanity is started. And that's why I'm excited to do this show with
Absolutely.
You on Pentecost, Terry, because we see all of these links with the first fruits, with the giving of the law, with all of the parallels that are from the Old Testament. They all are fulfilled here on this day in this room that you can still visit. You can still go up there and pray. We pray all those mysteries of the rosary related to those mysteries that took place there. So that's why it's so exciting. I hope people see Pentecost not just as a boring thing where we go to church, but it's a very exciting biblical event, firstly Jewish and only now Christian.
I want to recommend in February, I'll be going to the Holy Land with Steve Ray, with Mary Barber, my wife, and Janet, Steve's wife, will be there. And you're going to learn so much with this trip. We're going to be giving talks. It's an unusual trip, as Steve was just telling us. And Steve, how can people sign up to go to the Holy Land with all of us in February? What do they need to do?
Just go to my website, CatholicConvert.com. There's a big banner at the top for my pilgrimage site. Click on there. You can go and you can look at all the upcoming pilgrimage. And if you want to know what it's like, I have videos of the last 10 years. I have over 70 videos, two-hour videos of every pilgrimage I've taken over the last 10 years. You can go and have a virtual pilgrimage.
It's
you can
awesome.
Go through the upper room. You can go through the crucifixion of Christ, all of those things. But go to CatholicConvert.com. Click on the link, go to Footprints of God, and all the information's there. And I know a lot of people aren't thinking about going anywhere in an airplane right away, but this will be over with.
Absolutely.
This is going to be just a bad memory in people's mind a couple of months down the road, Lord willing. And by the time February comes around, they'll be ready to go to the Holy Land.
Absolutely. That's CatholicConvert.com. Steve Ray, thanks for joining us. I'm going to ask you a question. You see if you got the answer here. Steve Ray, what state should you be living in?
The state of grace, of course.
He got it. And what state shouldn't you be living in, even for just a second?
Michigan.
No, that's good. The state of mortal sin, brother. But Michigan right now is pretty tough, I admit it. Steve Ray, CatholicConvert.com. Thanks for joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show. May God richly bless you and your family and your ministry. Go to CatholicConvert.com. And I want to see you in Israel next February. I'll be there with my wife. I'd like to see you there, too. Go to CatholicConvert.com. May God richly bless you, folks. Steve, your final words? You've got something to say.
Everybody.
Amen. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.